in the community and loving people in Jesus Christ and focusing our hearts on loving God, God would bring up this passage in 1 Kings. Some years back, I was studying about Elijah, and about four or five years ago, my wife talked me into buying these study Bibles. And so I carried a smaller Bible in my bag when we did music because it was a little lighter when you're carrying other things, but it had a concordance and cross references and a lot of good stuff in there. But I started reading, and it's like God led me to this prayer of Elijah on the mountain. And I started studying a little bit about that, but I think it was before Google. And so I'm going to get to that part in a little bit, but I'd like to focus on that prayer. And one of the things I was telling Pastor Harris for me is when he would talk about reaching out in the community, I would think about this prayer and using it as a model prayer to pray in our day and time right now. And so I'm going to work that direction, but I wanted to talk a little bit how Israel had moved, the kings of Israel had moved into worshiping idols. And so before I go there, I'd also just like to thank the body of Christ here at First Open Bible, Pastor Harris, and all the pastors and elders and teachers. And Mary Lee and I have been here about a year now, and it's been great, and we've been so blessed. And I was telling Kenny Gale, he had been teaching on a Wednesday night in about August in that series we were doing at that time. And he was talking about the legacy of First Open Bible and the legacy of wanting to press into God in worship and in the Word and also in the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And that blesses me so much. I told Kenny later, that is a huge blessing to me to come to a Pentecostal church that is pressing into God and pressing in to God for the fire of God in our lives, the fire of the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And so that's been a huge blessing for Mary Lee and I in this last year. And so I just wanted to thank all the leadership here and the pastors and the elders and teachers and everybody. Mary Lee and I had had the opportunity in the past to be part of a team that was going to Anamosa State Penitentiary to do Sunday morning worship services once a month. And we did that for several years. And we used to rotate. We had about 8 people on the team, generally speaking. Pastor Barb Furman is here tonight. I first met Pastor Barb when we were doing worship services up at the Linn County Jail up on the 4th floor in the chapel up there. And then Pastor Barb was the director at Mission of Hope. We were over there doing worship services too. But when we were going up to the prison with our group, we would rotate doing the message, who's going to preach or do the message. And this one particular Sunday, it was my turn to preach. And so I was praying. I was nervous. I was praying, God, please give me something humorous, some humor, something humorous as part of this message that's from you. And so up at the prison, they didn't have PowerPoint. They had an overhead projector, and they shot the words for the songs we were doing up on the wall right behind the little platform in the chapel there. So we used overhead transparency. So for the message I was doing, I made an overhead transparency of a map in color of the Middle East. And I was going to be doing a little walk through the Bible about Abram being called out to go over to Canaan. And so I had this map up there. It showed the Mediterranean Sea and everything. And one of the guys up there had built this nice platform out of wood. And I didn't know at the time, but behind the platform there was a space about like this, and I'd known most of these guys that came regularly to our services for quite some time, and we'd gotten to know them, we'd prayed with them and different things, and so I was backing up and I had a pointer and I was going to point up at the map, and there was a space at the back of the platform that I didn't know about or hadn't really ever noticed before, but they had baseboard heaters on the floor right at the wall. And so when I backed up and was pointing at the map, I stepped into that hole and fell backwards up against the wall, and the guys really got a kick out of that. I almost fell down trying to point at the map. And so I thought, praise God, there's my humor. There's the humor right there. There's the icebreaker. So anyway, we did trade off up there doing the messages. And so I had done this. I had been studying this message about the prayer of Elijah. I call it a prayer of Elijah because he prayed some other prayers. In fact, over in, let's see, where is it here? James 5, 17 and 18, in the book of James, it says, Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And then there was the widow's son that God used Elijah to raise him from the dead, and other prayers. But this particular prayer is on top of the mountain. He did when he challenged the prophets of Baal and King Ahab. And so just this last fall, before I called Pastor Harris in September, and it kind of made me laugh out loud one day, because when I would read about Ahab, the king at the time of Elijah, and his father Omri, each one of them, it said, did more evil in the sight of God than anyone before them, because they were worshiping idols and leading the country into worshiping idols. And they thought it no trivial thing to follow the ways of Jeroboam. And I was trying to figure out who Jeroboam was at the time, and I didn't have Google. And I was looking in my Bible, but I just couldn't find it. And so I'd been reading through some of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so I got to Solomon in 1 Kings 11. And then right after that, there was two or three chapters about Jeroboam. And so, however many years ago that was, all of a sudden, I find the information about Jeroboam, 10 years later or whatever, and it just made me laugh out loud. And I've been finding as I get older, it just seems like God is showing me that he cares about the details of our lives. He cares about some of the things we don't even know he cares about. But when he showed me this information in the Word about Jeroboam, it just blessed me so much, and it made me laugh out loud because I could never find it before. So it's almost like he said, okay, John, there's Jeroboam. I'm like, okay, thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and I guess I would like to focus on, to start, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, and this kind of relates to the topic for tonight's message, but it says in there that when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, they sent an expert in the law to try to trick Jesus. And most of you, I'm sure, know this. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him, you should love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so when I first came upon those verses in my Christian walk, I thought, wow, that's big. And so as I've gone through time, I think even if you don't feel like you're doing well, even if you don't feel good, if you say, wow, what does that mean? You should love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And And I would think, the nice thing about God's word is I can pray off of that scripture and say, Jesus, I'm not feeling it today, but I want to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind, and it's in your word. And so by faith, I believe it and I receive it. And so we can pray as we go through our daily walk, you know, as we look at verses like this. So over in 1 Kings 16, 29 through 32, it talks a little about Ahab being the king in Israel. And then also before that, it talks about his father, Omri. But before we go there, I'd like to back up and talk about Solomon, because I had heard, and I had read it before, that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And I want to go back here a little bit and take a look at that. Just a few notes and a few facts about Solomon. In 1 Kings 6, 11 through 13, the word of the Lord to Solomon, as for the temple he was building, if he followed God's decrees, laws, and commands, God would live among the Israelites and not abandon them. And at that time, Solomon was the richest man on earth, and he had asked God for wisdom, and God had given him wisdom that no other person has ever had. And so Israel was the most powerful nation on earth, and God had told him that if he followed God's word, he would dwell with them and dwell in the temple. His presence would dwell in the temple. How would you like to be a country in the Middle East back then, with the Philistines on one side and everybody else on the other side, and have God dwelling in the temple in Jerusalem? And so he was the most powerful man on earth. And so my footnotes in my study Bible kind of led me back. But one of the things it says over in 1 Kings 10, Solomon accumulated 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horses he imported from Egypt and Kew. And so on the footnote of my study Bible, it goes back to Deuteronomy 17:16, and it says, this is when the law was being given concerning Israel and them having a king. The king must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. You are not to go back that way again. And then in Deuteronomy 17:17, you must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold, nor take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. Another thing I found, you know, I was thinking, and I didn't really know this, but I was thinking, well, in Israel, you know, they had the priests, the Levite priests, and, you know, in the temple had worship and in the synagogues. But I wondered if the king, you know, read the Bible or the scrolls at that time, the law. And so this is another way where I just felt like God, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if he had a copy of the word, the king. And so in Deuteronomy 17:17 it says, or 17:18 through 20, he is to write himself a copy of the law on scrolls and keep it with him. Read it all the days of his life. Learn to revere the Lord and follow carefully the law. And so I think as far as focus goes, and as far as the Bible goes, and focusing on the word, you know, God wants our heart. God wants us to love him. He wants us to dig into his word and have that take root in our hearts so that we can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power in these days we're living in. So when we get over to 1 Kings 11, it said that Solomon loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, nations the Lord had told Israel not to intermarry because they will turn Israel's hearts after their gods. So this is after Solomon had been king for some time, and it was in his older age. His heart was turning away from God because of his wives. He loved his wives, and they were all from countries that worshipped idols. So Solomon started setting up idols east of Jerusalem in high places, and Asherah pole and other idols to foreign gods. And God had warned him about that also. It says over in 1 Kings 11:5, Solomon followed Ashtoreth, goddess of the Sidonians, Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites, Chemosh, detestable god of Moab. And it said that the Ashtoreth, she was a goddess of fertility, and the worship included all kinds of strange rites and astrology. And Molech, it was even worse. I think that included human sacrifice and the Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, equally cruel, included astrology. So it says in verse 6 of 1 Kings 11, Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And that's where in verse 7 it talks about on the hill east of Jerusalem he built the high place for these gods. And it says in verse 9, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. And so basically, his heart was being turned from God to worshiping idols. And so God became angry with Solomon. And I'm just trying to run down through my notes here. But in 1 Kings 11:28. It talks about Jeroboam. It starts to talk about Jeroboam at that location. And he was a young man of standing, and he worked for Solomon, and Solomon put him in charge of the whole labor force of the tribes of Joseph. And I'm just going to move on ahead of some of this stuff. Got the prophet in Israel. I'm going to try to find it here. Here it is. Ahijah, the prophet of Shiloh, met Jeroboam on the road going out of Jerusalem. And the God of Israel had said he was going to tear the 10 kingdoms out of Solomon's kingdom, or his son Rehoboam at that time. So God was going to tear 10 tribes out of the nation of Israel and give them to Jeroboam. So Jeroboam became the first king of the 10 northern tribes. And God said, I'm going to leave one tribe in Jerusalem, the tribe of Judah, as a lamp unto my servant David. And so Jeroboam became the king of Israel. But some of the things he did, As far as idolatry and worshiping idols, I'm just kind of jumping around on my notes here, but one of the things Jeroboam thought over in 1 Kings 12, verses 26 and 27 was once he became king of the 10 tribes, that if the people went to Jerusalem to worship, that they would return back and follow Rehoboam, king of Judah. And so he set up 2 golden calves in the city of Bethel and Dan, and he said to Israel, here are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. And in the footnote in my study Bible there says, this new form of worship resulted in unprecedented idolatry. Jeroboam appointed priests from all sorts of people and not the tribe of Levi. He instituted festivals where sacrifices were offered to the golden calves on the same day. And he did not change his evil ways. And so they continued to follow into idolatry. And so a friend of mine who's a pastor, his name's Daniel Hurd, he was telling me, I was talking to him about this at one point, and he said, Jeroboam became the standard for evil in the Old Testament for the kings of Israel. And David became the standard as a man after God's own heart. Even though he sinned, he he repented and God still loved him as a man over him, after his own heart. So, moving on, I'm going to go back a little bit and talk a little bit about Ahab. So, then we're going to come to the prayer of Elijah. So, Ahab was king in Israel at the time of Elijah. And in 1 Kings 16:30, it says, Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Ahab considered it a trivial thing to commit the sins of Jeroboam. Ahab married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up altars for Baal in Samaria, and he made an Asherah pole, which was, again, a foreign, detestable god, and detestable in God's eyes. And it says, he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. And his father, back in 1 Kings 16:21 through 28, it talks about him in verse 25. It said, Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him. Now, when I read that, it says all those before him. So, to me, it sounds like he did more sin than everybody else combined, than all those who were before him. And he aroused the anger of the Lord God. So I'm getting my pages mixed up here a little bit. So now I would like to talk a little bit about Elijah. So Elijah came back after 3.5 years of no drought or no rain or no dew in the land. And he asked Ahab to bring the people of Israel to the mountain. And he challenged the prophets of Baal. And I know all of you probably know that story pretty well. And so one of the things that Elijah said to the people when they got up on the mountain was, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Either Baal is God or the Lord is God. And it said, the people said nothing. And so he said, He says, let's have a contest. Let's set up two altars. And I know you guys probably know this story. We're going to put a bull on each altar, and the God who answers by fire, he is the true God. And so, when I first read that many years ago, I had to laugh because the people said, that's a good idea. When he said, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Is Baal God or is the Lord God Almighty God? They didn't say a word. But when he said, let's set up two altars, and whichever God answers with fire, that's the true God. And they said, that's a good idea. They wanted to see some fireworks. And so they proceeded, and I know you probably all know the story of how Elijah taunted the prophets of Baal, and how Baal did not answer. And so that kind of brings me to this prayer of Elijah. And we're going to read it in a few minutes, and then I'd like to pray a model prayer for our church and for the outreach and for focusing on loving God with all our heart and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Pastor Harris has been talking about praying for people. So we've been doing that. We've been praying for our neighbors, people we know, a lot of whom aren't believers, and people we know, and for a lot of different people. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about that prayer because God had kind of spoken to me through the Holy Spirit. Mary Lee is a registered nurse, and she was working at a place where, and I'm sure a lot of nurses can probably appreciate this, where there was way too much work to do. Everything had to be documented on a computer, and you couldn't keep up with it. And so where she was working, it was kind of a downward spiral because people were quitting. Some people were being fired. They were being required to stay long shifts. And I was asking God, how can I, you know, the Bible says sometimes we don't know how to pray. I thought, how can I pray for Mary Lee as she goes to work in this place? It's crazy. And God said, use this prayer of Elijah as a model prayer. And so I would pray, oh Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God through Mary Lee in that place. Send the fire of your Holy Spirit and power from heaven into her heart and the love of God for those people she's trying to help. And give her wisdom. Send the fire of your Holy Spirit and power and help her do her job today. And so, here we are at 7:26, and I'm thinking, so as I was studying this, I called Pastor Harris. This was in September, and I was scheduled to do this message on Thanksgiving weekend, but we had a snowstorm forecast, and it was supposed to move up in here, and it didn't, but Washington, Iowa, just south of us a ways, got 13 inches in that storm, and Burlington, where Mary Lee's brother, they got a bunch of snow too. So I had called and talked to Pastor Harris about this in September, but I was just thinking every time he talked about outreach in the community, like the gas, giving people gas cards and different things, reaching out in the community, reaching out in the neighborhood, reaching out in the city, of using this as a model prayer that I like to pray. I mean, I pray other prayers. I don't just pray this one. But so my prayer, I'd just like to pray this if I could. This is what I think of when sometimes when Pastor Harris is sharing about this. Oh Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob, of Israel, God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, let it be known today through First Open Bible, through the body of believers at First Open Bible, through Christians in this fellowship, that you are God and that we are your servants, and the things that we do at your word. Send the fire, Father, of your Holy Spirit and power from heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us at the cross, that we might walk in the Spirit, that we might love the Lord with all our heart and love our neighbors as ourselves, that you can use us, Father, as salt and light in this world that we're living in that is so dark around us. Oh Lord, let it be known today that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's basically it. I've asked Pastor Sonny if he would play a song at the end of this message.